For the past few weeks, we've been focusing on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And today's text gives us another challenge. If I were to give the sermon a title today, I would probably title it, Can You Love Someone You Don't Really Like? Jesus says, love your enemies. And by definition, our enemy is people we don't like. Through the years, I've heard some people kind of in tongue-in-cheek speak these comments in regard to those they really don't care for. Speak well of your enemies. Remember, you made them. The best way to avoid your enemies is to outlive them. He hasn't an enemy in the world, but all his friends hate him. If you can't love your enemies, compromise. Forget them. Well, we can't always forget our enemies, and we sure can't be guaranteed that we're going to outlive them. I once had a conversation with a couple of ours that really good friends, and I had this conversation with the wife, and she made this comment about her husband. I love him, but I really don't like him very much. And I asked her what she meant. I really do care about him and want the best for him. In many ways, he's terrific, but at the same time, I do not like how he acts. I disapprove of many things he does. There are times he is mean, selfish, and annoying. That's what I mean, that I don't like him very much. Now, is that double talk? Is it possible to love someone and not like them? Jesus conveys that we must find another strategy. A Christ-like strategy for dealing with our enemies. The strategy must start somewhere beyond ourselves. Our starting point must be rooted in the love of God. A love powerful enough, big enough, to embrace both us and our enemy. God's love is all-inclusive. He does not pick and choose. His love is not contingent on good behavior or on the quality of our character. Love, Jesus style, is a basic kindness and wanting goodwill for another. Reading the scriptures, we know that there were some people Jesus really didn't care for either. Those people who were selling in the temple, money changers. And the Pharisees that he even came out and called them hypocrites. He disagreed with their critical and judgmental manner, but Jesus genuinely wanted the best for them. He loved them. And that is evident because he eventually would give his life on the cross to prove his love for them. God continues to show his love toward us at those very, very times that we are not likable. And so, we begin there. We must respond to Jesus' directive to love our enemies. The challenge Jesus gives, we are expected to be like him. Jesus' challenge is tough stuff. Easy to talk about. It's easy to hear while we're sitting here, but pretty hard to do. But that is expected of a disciple of Jesus. We fight this human nature daily, for we tend to function on tit for tat. If someone injures us, we want to get back, or at least we want justice served. Jesus says, there is no virtue in such an attitude, for even non-believers behave like that. More, much more is expected of us if we claim him Lord. Now, maybe we want to lift up a prayer here. Maybe we know somebody who we don't like or doesn't like us. Maybe we need a prayer, like maybe something like, Lord, if you want me to do the impossible, give me a practical strategy. A helpful strategy, please. and he does just that. His strategy is prayer. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. And praying for our enemies, people who don't like us, two things can happen. First, it can transform our feelings from hatred, hard feelings, to positive feelings. Because you really can't continue to hate someone while you're praying for them. Prayer changes that whole situation, and indeed it changes us. In a book entitled How to Pray, this statement is made. A person who learns the practice of the laws of prayer should be able to play better, work better, love better, serve better. For to learn how to pray, you learn how to live. Prayer transforms us into those harsh, hateful feelings into something that's positive and of goodwill. Secondly, prayer will transform the one we are praying for. A little girl was saying her night prayers, and she was overheard as she was saying the Lord's Prayer, and she got to the petition, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are dead against us." The words were mixed up, but they were right on. Opening ourselves to our Lord in prayer gives us the power to forgive, power to love, even those who are dead against us. It is kind of unreal, isn't it? Thinking like someone doesn't like you. The power of prayer, praying for the person that you know has a hard time with you, liking you, dealing with you, and putting that person in prayer. When we come to know we are deeply loved, this is so simple, so profound, but we have to deal with this human nature all the time that gets in the way. When we come to know how deeply we are loved by our God, then it becomes much easier for us to act in loving ways toward others. The formula is so easy, so easy. But our control mechanism, human nature, says, "Oh, that's too easy." God deeply loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. You know, we get in those situations where we're having hard feelings with someone. Jesus loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. And to know that so deeply cannot keep us on the track of grudges and hate. I love him, but I really don't like him very much. Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. And Jesus challenges us today. Pick one person whom you know who doesn't like you very much. Pray for that person and be honest and open in trying avenues in which a way, as Jesus meant, to be kind, to work toward the goodwill of that person. Remember, more is expected of us if we claim Jesus as Lord. And remember, with God, all things are possible. And as we conclude these weeks in the Matthew text of the Sermon on the Mount, need to remember, offer whatever light you can, because you can. Amen.